Thank you. Yes, sir.
All my life, and that is for 43 years, I've been holding strictly to the principle that you should not partake of sentient flesh of any kind or any poison of any kind. And I, for that reason, I have felt that you are doing a wonderful work, but I cannot understand why you draw the line on eggs. I might be.
This is Mr. Hackett?
Hackley.
Hackley?
Yes, that's all right. So no good. About the eggs, you see, we are to use such like diet which is helping factor, you see. We want to control our passions. Anything that goes to clear our passions, those are to be avoided.
Yeah, and eggs, they certainly do.
Yes.
I understand.
Yes.
I understand.
For that reason, you see.
I'm saying,
because you have to go to a refined state, you want to refine that, even more eating.
Isn't there another reason, too? Don't they have something called chlorophyll or something in them?
Maybe I don't know. The main thing is like that, you see. One way we want to put on fire, the other you say, for the even simple diet, you see. Even more diet is dangerous, you see. It's just fill your belly from double to the gullet. That also said.
In other words, I have understood that several people didn't eggs, but I never knew the exact reason. But I have heard about them being very conducive to.
Sir, but I tell you, there are no equivalent diets in the dietary system, too. I'll give you a small prescription. Half of walnut.
Walnut.
Two almonds. And munakiriki generally?
Raisin.
Raisin is small one.
Raisin.
Like raisins it is, but black
grapes.
Grapes, dry. That is called munaka that side. Good grapes? Currants. Four currants, two almonds, and half walnut will give you the strength for two eggs.
Let's see now, one walnut, two almonds,
yes.
And a currant or
yes.
Raisin or something.
That will give you good
energy,
right. Even more than that.
That will give you the same nourishment that the egg would give you.
Yes, sir.
I wish you would please give me your address before you leave, I'll mail you some information.
Where do you live?
I live at 4223 Southern Parkway.
Oh, well, I'm very glad to see you all here, you see, gathered together. Yes, half walnut.
Half a walnut, two almonds, and one currant.
No, four currants. Four. Four currants, two almonds, half walnut.
Half walnut.
Well, the walnut is
thank you so much, Mr. Hackley. The four currants. Here. Dr. Hubert Freeman from Dallas is holding up
a
hand.
Yes.
I'd like to understand why you do not tell them to stop smoking, using the tobacco, when you have them stop eating food. It's very harmful to the body.
We do stop them from smoking as soon as we can.
I mean, why is the man that immediately like you do the other?
All intoxicants, the word I use, all intoxicants. Smoking also intoxicants. Because when they're going to murder a man, they will smoke and then in effect they kill others.
I know, but you don't require them to stop smoking.
I always stop it, please.
Yeah.
I always stop it, in India and everywhere. I say all intoxicants.
Well, they haven't stopped.
No, stop, that's another thing. But I don't.
You don't require them.
No, there's no question of driving. You see, it contains nicotine, you see. And if you want to continue, that also gives a fit.
Pardon me just a moment. Dr. Freeman, if they're smoking, they're not barred from initiation.
That's what I mean.
And I think under the new ruling they are, aren't they?
What?
Do they have to stop smoking before they can be initiated?
Intoxicated? Yes, I do in India.
Yeah.
Our master so also said.
Well, we're starting it here.
300 or so many diseases only arise from smoking. 360 or so. Bad habit too, but still, it is a bad effect and gives intoxication too. It's intoxicating. And you'll find whenever a man is going to murder, he first have a smoke. And in that particular way, then you find language. They give you fit. That's an injury, that's a thing. False recovery. Oh, that's it.
You know to whom I refer, don't you?
Make what?
I said, Ms. Hughes knows some of our leaders smoke.
Pop smoke.
They are somebody. You see, do you even say those who are leaders, they become perfect? They are on the way, all imperfect people. You have to carry and work with them. But they must stop. There's no reason why they should not. If their leader does not mean, they just act like batting up. You're right there.
Because in our home is a big sign, no smoking.
Yes, but we didn't do that in the beginning, did we?
Always. In India, at least.
Always.
Yes. Nobody allowed to satsang or anywhere, no smoking. Even others who come who are not initiated, they're not allowed.
Yeah, not in ashram, nobody, you know.
Yes. Even though they're addicted to it, and they are.
They don't understand it.
They understand him.
I think that should be made clear to them if not.
That's all right. For future.
I'll let you tell them. Yes, you don't tell.
Intoxicants include, you see, smoke. Yes, I tell you one thing. Intoxicants, you see, foreign wines, etc., they affect all at once. This affects slowly, but that injurious. In the long run, it is a side of a Yunani, doctor, that 360 or so many diseases arise only by smoking.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
But in Sikh religion, it is strictly forbidden to smoke.
Yes.
See, everybody, almost everybody in the...
Yes.
In
what
the
is bad is bad, kind of good, you see. Those who are addicted to that, they have simply made little allowances. That's not to meet with their own purpose. This is bad. Not correct. Yes.
In the Path of the Masters, Dr. Johnson wrote that if we were smoking at the time of the initiation, the time would come when God would give us something to take the place of the smoking.
Not that it's prohibited everywhere. They take it, that's another thing. But there are so many things prescribed and the people don't do it. They should.
Are there any other questions?
Roast and plus the other things you told us. The almonds, do they make the grow spiritually?
What is it?
Do almonds make you grow spiritually?
Yeah, they're saturated. What do they do? They don't create any other things. It is helping quite a lot. Helping. All nuts. They're proteins.
Any others? What about you, Elsie? Leon?
Maharaji, what can we do, or what must we do in order to increase in us the feeling of love, which is the...
I think I replied to you last night about this.
Oh, I'm sorry, I wasn't here then.
That is tape regularly recorded last time, I think. That is recorded.
Mr. Jack Holt recorded.
I just gave it.
You get it from Jack Holt.
Love is already ingrained in you. Simply with love from outside in you. Let it run far in the company of those who have got love. This comes by religion. And the more you come in contact with the light and sound principle, that is love personifying. The more you come in touch with that, the love in you will flare up. And the outer company of those who are lovers of God, that will give you very great impetus.
Any more? Stop it.
Yes, please.
When you say no drugs, does that also mean no medications that are prescribed sometimes by physicians?
I never said anything about drugs.
I thought that said that on the initiation paper.
That what?
I thought I read that on the paper, on the application, no drugs.
No drugs mean intoxicating drugs, not the treatment.
But medicines will be all right if
you want. Medicines, you see, that is only to help you. Naturally, nowadays, people are coming around to appreciate the natural healing, natural way of healing by vegetables and other things. But anyhow, if that is required, that is only medicine do little or nothing, I tell you. It is the soul that has the curative power. We simply clear the way to help the soul.
Miss Smith, do you want to ask him some?
He's actually
everything I want to know. Yes? Yes, John Young.
Yes. Homeopathic medicine you can take to stop smoking in 3 days.
Yeah, that is Kilkeria Fast, they say. Kilkeria Fast 3X. Aversion, that comes from aversion, like aversion for smoking. Kilkeria Fast 3X, put it in a glass of water and sip it, say, every 5 minutes for 2 hours or so.
That will cure you from smoking?
That will give you aversion to smoking.
Aversion.
Aversion. Hate it. You won't like to smoke. Yes. Like what? Kilkeria Fast 3X. 3X is the potency. 3X? X, not X. X is the potency, you see? Oh, homeopathy doctor. You can get from homeopathy.
What is it all?
It is calcium, you see. Calcium and phosphorus. Combined 3X.
Calcium and phosphorus.
Calcium.
Calcium.
Calcium and phosphorus. 3X. You get it at a homeopathic
drug. It is prepared.
Where do you get a homeopathic drug?
Is there one here?
No.
Yes, there is. Somebody told me that he's getting his wife treated by a homeopath. Somebody told me the other day. Everybody.
Homeopathic in Louisville?
No, somebody told me here that he's getting his wife treated by a homeopathic. So much.
If he's here, I'll find him. Now, you want to give... No, wait. See what the... See what the young man wants.
What is the dose? 3 tablespoons or 3 teaspoons in a glass of water?
It is
3 teaspoons in a glass of water.
3 teaspoons in a glass of water.
Oh, no. Those are tablets, you see, prepared. You put it 8-10 tablets in a glass of water, you see. And then have with a small spoonful, take every 5 minutes. One spoon, two spoon, like that.
This is a young man staying here.
Yes, please.
Are we supposed to tell the new applicants for initiation to stop smoking before their exemption?
Well, just this one. That is, I tell you one thing. Some are such like things we give instantaneous. They affect very quickly. Smoking affects later. but it is to be stopped. They should stop.
Now, do you wish to give your message?
Should I? What message do I have to give?
I give your talk then.
Sure. Well, he said, you know, Christ once said to his disciples, I don't want to make you slaves, but as friends. Slaves do not know what a friend could be. Slaves only know just do what he said. Friends, you see, you can appreciate anybody if you just work along with him, see what he's doing. You like a sweeper going by, that won't. So Christ said, I make you my friends. So I think it is better that you are friends. Because I've told you many times that I am a man like you, with the same privileges that you have got from God. But in a way I dwelt in a certain way, you have not. And that dwellment is due to the grace of God and the God working through my Master. That is how to die while alive, how to be reborn, how to be cut off from the attachments of the world, body and other things. That's the way it is within you already. So, I love you as friends, I would say. I regard you as the children of light. Because I love God, and that light is everywhere, so I have to love you and have regard to you as well. So my point is, you see, what I would like to bring to your notice specially, the initiation does not mean that you become perfect. That is the way to perfection. One does not become a satsangi simply by being initiated. Satsangi word means, sat means unchangeable permanence, and sangi means who is in contact with it constant. We have been put on the way just to analyze our soul from mind and outward faculties and have some touch, contact with God power. When you remain a constant companion of that God power, then only you become a true satsangi. Now you have been. I have got something, of course, to start with, how to contact. But unless you begin to be conscious of that power all through, you are not a true satsangi. So, we have to live, mold our lives in accordance with the principles of satsang, in thought, speech, and action. Simply you take medicine and put it in the shelf. Would you? Your disease will go. So, all masters say, those who live up to what they are told, and they are saying that he is my master and I am his slave. Let's see, a father has 4 or 5 children. Some children just obey him, others do not. And some children, even not by obedience, he surrenders to the will of his father. Well, father does, as I told you yesterday, when you surrender, he becomes your slave. If you have got a son, very obedient, he just works up to your intentions. He never asks for anything. I think what the father does, when he leaves, he simply hands over the key to that son. Not to everybody. He says, well, all right, look to the interest of others. Don't let others not starve. So similarly, those who live up to what they are told, that is what is required. Your obedience, first of all, love requires. If you love me, keep my commandments, as I told you yesterday. We don't keep up commandments. Some do with some modifications, we suit their own interests. Unless we live up to 100% what the Master says, we cannot truly to know what is God is. So actions speak louder than words, and thoughts are even more potent. A sangha must lead a daily conduct, must reveal what he is, not what he says, but what he is. You say, love all and see whether he loves all. If he loves all, whether he is always ready to help others without any show. If he still loves, is he ready to sacrifice his everything for him? So not only everybody can know so much about these things, you see. Libraries are full of them. Scriptures are full of them. You see, just what you say, loading rats with books. What is it now? If a paddle, you see, on a spoon moves in a sweet dish, do you mean that thing tastes anything out of that? To know so many things in your brain will do you little or no good, and perhaps will do more evil than good. Because you act in power, why know so much? But you don't live up to it. The main thing is you must live. And live not willingly, but with joy and love and devotion. So, obedience comes next. And obedience also is not sufficient, we should surrender. This is what is needed. And all masters have been saying like that. If one of you people just find some shortcoming in you, what they say? That's a sentence like that. And I think Master teaches that way. Some people have been writing to me on account of some shortcomings here and there. I always reply to them, pity it is that I have to carry on with imperfect people. They are all not perfect. They are all on the way to perfection. Those who are on the way to perfection here, that they do. Wow. So just forgive and forget, and we should be on the way for the common cause of God. So that is why what is needed. Live up to what is needed. Truth is above all. But true living is still above truth. People don't know whether you can have contact within with the light of God or not. They'll see how you live, how you behave, what your treatment with others. Are you fighting with others for selfish motives? Are you just usurping others' rights? Are you just sucking the blood of others? They'll see you from that level. In your life, you see, there's the bulk. If this glass is besmeared with filth, light is there, but that won't give it light. The bulb should be quite clean, without any dust. So our hearts must be what we have got in the heart, that should be at our mouth. And what is at our mouth, that should agree with our thought. When these three agree, there is agreement between the three, consider it right. Sometimes we do one thing for many days, that becomes habit. Habit turns into nature. It's very difficult to then to remove that habit. That nature which has formed becomes our nature. So first of all is what to do. I would say perform no action in secret. and no doubt you'll find breathing very healthy. Perform no action in secret. If anything requires secrecy, abandon it at once. Deeds of darkness are committed in the dark. Mind that. This is first, and that's the criterion of a sin. You want secrecy. That's considered in all our ways of life. Then, further, do nothing which after being done lead you to tell lies. That's also criterion for something wrong, you see. To do one sin that followed by lying, because you want to complete it, you see. I tell you, the criterion of a saint is one. You find him everywhere like that, in or out, at midnight or daytime, at the pulpit or in his private rooms. Half a saint, when you go to the pulpit, you give very long yarns of talk, but when they go to the secret, they do otherwise. Well, mind that. God is in between you, and God power, also, the God in man, also, watches everything. How can you deceive him? You can deceive others. Our master used to say, if a child is sitting, or 5 years old is sitting, you won't do anything unbecoming in his presence. You would require secrecy. When you think the master, when he gives initiation, that God power just takes possession of you within, he looks to the very thoughts that arise, he knows the very trend you are following, then how can you deceive him? So I always say, be true to your own self. So if you are true to your own self, how can you deceive others, you see? So this is the main criterion, you see. And further, don't desire evil for anyone, irrespective of creed or color, even in thought. That's next to come. Anyone, not necessarily your initial brother, you see. Anyone. Because whatever thought arises there, you see, that poisons you. Others don't know, but you have been poisoned. And by radiation you will find thoughts are more potent. I gave you, I think the other day, the example of Akbar the Great, the great king of India. Birbal was his minister. He told him whatever a man thinks about anybody, that reacts in other minds. He said, how can that be true? So the minister took him away to some place or roadside. One man was coming at a distance and told the king, just think anything about him in your mind. The king was going bareheaded, you see. He thought about that man coming, I should shoot him in his mind. When he came by, he passed by him, he said, well, look here, tell me truly, I forgive you. What did it strike to you when you saw my face? He said, I thought your with the face I should break your head. That reality. Never think evil of others. These are the things we think evil of others, my God. When we say anything against anybody, what is it? It is thinking evil of others. When we backbite, what we do? We think evil of others. When we make parties with one or the other, what we do? We tell them that this side something, that side something. You are deceiving your own self. And the God in you sees you. That was I may mention to you today, once. Then all our controversies is going on, just go on with me in my life.
Good morning and welcome to the Satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. The recording you listened to was the first 30 minutes of a farewell talk called What is a True Satsangi? It was given on November 14, 1963 in Louisville, Kentucky. Our reader this morning is Pradeep Sethi. Welcome, Pradeep.
Thank you, Christine. During my last reading of the question and answer session from Light of Kripal, we were on the chapter 64 titled The House is on Fire, and I continue from Master's answer to one of the questions. So long as our attention is imbued with the world, we are constantly in touch with worldly things. These things will either be taken away in due course, or we will have to withdraw from them at the time of death. So you then feel unhappy. If we continue living with that higher consciousness all along, then there is no unhappiness. So that is why the saints say, come in contact with that which never dies, which is eternal. Our soul is eternal. If he comes to it, that part which is eternal, then there is no suffering, no separation. In all outer things, we are sometimes attached. Sometimes we drown with the reactions of the past. Take the example of a dog who eats bones. There is no sweetness in the bones, but he eats the bones and tastes his own blood. He thinks it is very, very tasty, but the real taste is within him. So all happiness and bliss is within our own selves. So long as we are absorbed in something, we feel happy. But these things are not eternal, are changing panorama of life. Sometimes we are attached, sometimes we are withdrawn. So long as we remain attached, it is all right. We are happy. But when that is withdrawn from us, or we are made to withdraw, when we withdraw, we feel unhappy. So the saints have given that solace. All are unhappy, Guru Nanak says. Who is happy there? Those who come in contact with the God into expression power, which is called Naam or Word. That will never die. You will never be withdrawn. That is why you will feel happiness all along. So those who want continuous bliss without any break, that overflowing bliss should be in tune with that God power, which is pervading all creation, and that is within you. So this is the real salvation, the solution to the whole problem. When we have great profits and get money, we are very pleased. But when the bank fails or some dacoit comes and takes away all our money, we are not happy then. Do you feel happy? No more. So come into contact with something which will never leave you, and that is God or God in man. Did Christ not say, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee until the end of the world? Did he not? So Christ was the power which manifested at the human pole of Jesus, that lived even before Jesus and shall remain forever. That is called God power, Master power, or Guru power. You are given a contact with that, the outer expression of which is light and sound. You are just to entune yourself with it. When that is developed, you'll hear the music of the spheres without any payment all along. 24 hours of the day and night. And this has been the basic teachings given by all saints who came in the East or West. Location makes no difference. Question. Master, you've mentioned that the Bible hasn't been translated accurately at all. Master, naturally, when one thing has been translated from one language to the other, first of all, you won't find suitable words. The other thing, translators who are not well conversant with the theory, practically cannot give the right interpretation. Bible gives reference to some things that Christ said. Christ was Word made flesh. The right interpretation can only be given by Him who is Word made flesh. Emotions or feelings or drawing inferences are all subject to error. Seeing is above all. Those who saw gave out something in words which can only be rightly interpreted by one who sees. Devotee, I was wondering though, is there any particular translation which is better than the others? Master, the original Bible was written in some other language, Aramaic. That language I don't know. This was then translated into another language, then into Latin, and from Latin further into English. There have been so many versions, 1, 2, 3, like that, and ultimately the result is before you. Only such things can be relied on are those which have been given out by the Master directly, written in His own hand. You may hear something, but you may not catch fully what Master says. You will give it in your own version. Even the versions given by those who had met Christ would not be totally reliable as given out by Christ Himself. So, these scriptures can be correctly interpreted only by those who see. When I went to the West and gave a talk in the Jewish temple, I spoke to them referring to their own books and gave references from other scriptures too. And in the churches, I spoke referring to their Bible. At one church, I asked one doctor after my speech, how do you find this now? He answered, what you have interpreted is true. He was a professor. So, it is a matter of seeing. Those who see will give the same interpretation because they've seen. Others interpret at the level of intellect or feelings. That's all. Some say God is light. They interpret that as intellectual light. They have never seen light. When the 10th Guru's 300 years anniversary was celebrated in India, I was also invited to give a talk over there. His life was a very wonderful life. At the age of 36, he did wonders in literary way as well as in all other ways. Last of all, I said, we are proud of him. He was a great personality, a great saint. But is he proud of us? He turned out Khalsas. Khalsa is one in whom the light of God is manifested, who sees the light of God within in full effulgence. There are many people who were Sikhs going on in an ordinary religious way, very devout, who came up to me and asked, is there any light within? These things are handed down from time to time and are enshrouded, unexplained. Thank God there have been no additions to Granth Sahib. Most other holy books are not all original. So the original thing is the only what is written by the saint himself. For that, two scriptures are very valid. One, Quran of Mohammedans, there has not been a change of jot or title with the very words. the other Sikh scripture Adi Granth, which was compiled by Guru Arjan himself, that has been very strictly guarded. Nothing has been added or left out. He has collected the sayings of so many saints and put them all together in one place like a feast, a banquet hall of spirituality. If a man is one ism or the other, when he has seen that God power, he considers all are one. Guru Arjan has collected the sayings of more than 50 saints. All other books are additions and subtractions. So, these two scriptures are very valid. We are thankful for the social religions, for they have kept them quite safe without any amalgamation. Then, even if we get those two, the Quran and the Granth Sahib, they have been translated. Yes, yes, that is why. Oh, you have to go? It is 9:45. All right, go jolly. The next chapter, Love and Surrender, One Pointed Attention, February 25, 1971. Question: what is that that prevents a person from fully fixing his attention in the middle? You say it is the mind, but he cannot still the mind. Is there one faculty behind all this that prevents him from focusing his attention in the middle? Master: mind extends from your consciousness, does it not? Where your attention is, there no other outgoing faculty is working. Mind and intellect and outgoing faculties get strength from attention. You follow me? So, you are Surat, attention. If your attention is fixed, mind cannot work. Mind works only when your attention is slackened. Question: so, if I don't feed the mind, it can't do anything? Master: it is you who are feeding the mind. Mind is not conscious. That's a vast difference between the Eastern and Western definition of mind. East says mind is material. West believes it is conscious. Do you see? Truly speaking, mind is a vehicle. The proof of that is when you absorb your attention, you are absorbed in it. No other thought comes in it. Mind does not work. So, it is the attention which is to be fixed on anything. When you are absorbed in it, no other thought intervenes. These are very delicate points and they play havoc. Outgoing faculties are like the horses. Soul is like the chariot and mind is controlling the reins. The soul is being dragged. So, what you have been on is Surat Yoga, not intellectual yoga. On Surat depends everything. When your whole attention is riveted at the certain point, you see you are so absorbed in thought that if somebody calls you, you don't hear, although your ears are there. Sometimes your eyes remain open, but you're so absorbed, you cannot recognize anybody. So, the main thing is your attention. God is greater than attention, greatest attention, and man is minor attention working. So, mind works or the thoughts intervene only when attention is slackened. Do you see why? Then, so many thoughts will come up. Devotee, the ability to focus attention with more firmness, is that a matter of strength or energy or master? That is a matter of love. The very easy way. Intellectuals will say otherwise, but it is love. No compulsion. Nothing of that sort. Natural. Devotee, how do I get that love? Master, God is love and our soul is also love. And the way back to God is also through love. Now, how to get it? Love is very innate in our soul. this love is distributed into various things. Little here, little there, little here, little there. Take the example of a flute. Have you seen a flute? There are so many holes in it. Or there may be a pipe with so many holes and water running through it. Drop by drop, the water oozes out from those holes. If you shut out all holes except one, the water will shoot forth. Do you follow? That will shoot forth full strength. So when you are concentrated, naturally you feel some love within you. That is the means, but the question remains how to get it. That's the point. The first way is to come in contact with the higher self. God is love. Your love will have a boost upon contact. Until you can do that, what to do? If a body is charged and anybody else touches it or comes within the area, field of action, he will also be charged, you see. So the best way to have that love is to come in contact with somebody who is in tune with God. That's the best way. Guru Amar Das says, so long as we have got no love within us, we cannot reach God. But where to get love? Love is within us. That requires a boost, ignition, you might say. If there are matchboxes, dozens of matchboxes put into the oven, but will they heat anybody? Anything? Will it make you your water warm, hot? No. But if you ignite one match, then so that requires ignition. And the other way is, if you want to love someone, or if you have got love for someone, what would you do? You have constant remembrance of him. Or as a corollary, if you want to have love for somebody, remember him. But real love will sprout in the company of a saint who is overflowing with love. He is overflowing with the love of God and intoxication of God. If you become receptive, that will give you a boost. You will be ignited. This cannot be had from shops nor grow in the fields. By reading, by outward observances, your attention is also diverted to one place. But real love sprouts forth only when you come in contact with somebody charged. The very atmosphere is charged by radiation. If a man has got some perfume in his clothes, whenever he passes the others, those who have open noses will smell that perfume. Those whose noses are closed, that's another matter. So radiation works. Even when those who are just given up to the sensuous life come within that area, field of action, they will also be charged by radiation. So love comes when you come in contact with God into expression power, Naam or word. Until you have that love within you, come in contact with God into expression power. He who is word made flesh, that's all. All scriptures say those who love can know God, not otherwise. Who do not know love cannot know God. 10th group proclaims, hear ye all, hear ye all. Whoever loves will meet God, not otherwise. So love is within you. And when you come in contact with higher love, by concentration, you'll be charged. That is why if you go to a man who smells perfumes, scents, he may not give you anything, but the atmosphere is charged with perfume. You'll have all perfume. If he gives you one small vial, then so a God man is overflowing with the love and intoxication of God. Naturally, those who come in contact with that, within that field of action, they will have it. A boost for God. Love for God. Just like a strong man, a wrestler, who is overflowing with might, strength. When you see him, by seeing him, naturally some desire comes within you to be like him. Is it not so? So, radiation works, you see. That's the best way. But how can you love him whom you have never met and never enjoyed his presence? If you have met with somebody and if you have give and take by receptivity, naturally you'll have that what he is. As you think, so you become. But we have not seen God. That's the pity. Those who have seen him, in whom God is manifested, when they become receptive, they will overflow with love, naturally. So that is why it is said that if you sit in the presence of a master in a receptive mood for 1 hour, the effect will be that which you will not have had from years of penances. There, you are directly charged. Now, when you are in the presence of somebody, sometimes you will feel that sound principle reverberate. Some of you here have heard and have sometimes seen the atmosphere is charged. The room is charged with the music of the spirit. That is why radiation. Once my master went to a village, the room in which he used to sit was in a newly erected building, so I locked the room. Whoever entered it heard the music. That is charging, the radiation working. At the back, rear of Master's house in Rajpur, there's one water tank. If you go there and sit, you'll hear music. It's charged. The room is charged. With a little receptivity, you can hear. So it is by radiation you have boost, impetus. And when you sit by a master, it becomes very much easier to see that God is quite at hand. When you go out of that atmosphere, the same problems arise again. That is why the presence of masters cannot be underrated. From thousands of miles, you can have that radiation. But only when you have developed receptivity, not before. So, in the physical presence, you get a boost. And when you sit attentively or come into contact with the God into expression power, which is light and sound, the room resounds. Anyone else? Master, how can true receptivity be developed? Master, I issued one circular on that. Have you read it? Devotee, I don't remember at this moment. Master, that's the pity. That's the pity. Anyhow, receptivity is developed only when there's no other thought intervening between you and the master. From thousands of miles, you see, through television, you hear through radio when you are tuned into those machines, but you cannot hear sounds in an atmosphere during monsoons or very rainy seasons. Similarly, in the calm and quiet, with no ripples in the reservoir of mind, except the master having pity on you, then receptivity will develop. Help to receptivity is sweet remembrance, consent. That will develop receptivity. Devotee, that complete stillness of mind, is that surrender? Master, surrender is something more. Surrender is dedication, reposing, leaving everything to his beck and call. I am just defining surrender in different ways. I will give you one example in the worldly way. When a girl is married away to somebody in India, she changes her name. Her name is changed, her caste is changed, and she never cares where from she will eat or get clothes or live. She has wholly surrendered mind, body and soul to her husband. Surrender. Let me give you another example. There are many different kinds of bhakt, devotees, among wives and saints too. One kind is, O God, give me this and that thing. The second, I don't eat unless I can remember you, not otherwise. There is some condition there. In surrender, there is no condition. if a wife asks her husband for something, even if he does not give, if she remains devoted, that's the second class of surrender. There's another wife who does not ask for anything, the third class. Her clothes are worn out. She has no other amenities of life. If she has surrendered to her husband, real love is involved in surrender too. She says, well, look here, my husband loves me. I am his and he is mine. But he never questions me as to what I want. My clothes are torn. I have nothing else. She thinks, all right, if in this condition, all clothes worn out, half naked, I am pleasing to him, what more do I want? That is surrender, complete surrender, you see. So, these are different stages of surrender. Complete surrender, in previous times, slaves were told, Abraham purchased one slave and brought him to his own house. He asked him, well, what will you eat? He said, I am bought. There is no question of mine. Where will you sit? What will you wear? The replies are the same. There is no question, you see. These are different degrees of surrender. I'm describing to you, so if you surrender to God within, to Master within you, whether or not He gives you money, whether or not He gives you what you want, even if He gives you nothing to eat or nothing to wear, even then surrender is there, complete surrender. Now, there are so-called saints like that who say, all right, O Master, O God, give me this and give me that, give me that. If you don't give, I cannot do your penances, you see. His work is only to obey, complete obedience, with no condition, expecting nothing in return, complete surrender of heart and soul, no choice left. If surrender is like that, a child is there and a lion is coming, the child runs to the mother. Do you think a mother will suffer to let her child be eaten by the lion? She would put herself in the mouth of the lion to save the child. When you surrender to God in man, He protects you. The next chapter is titled Criticism, February 6, 1971, Evening Darshan. The beginning of this talk was not recorded. If some other person is criticizing, how should we act? Master, if somebody is criticizing somebody else other than you? Devotee, yes. Master, then in a friendly way, you might tell him privately, dear friend, that is not right. If you have love for him, then tell him privately, lovingly, that is not right. If a child is besmeared with filth, what would you do? Watch him, lovingly, that's all. Do not kill him. Even if somebody criticizes you, for instance, just look within your own self to see whether the criticism is right. If it is right, then be thankful. Your failures can be brought to your notice by either your loving friend, true friend, or by your enemy. So be thankful to him. If it is not so, then send him good wishes. Pray to God for him, that's all. Somebody went to Lord Buddha and began to call him names. He is such and such, such and such, going on vehemently like anything. When night came and he was about to go, Buddha asked him, look, dear friend, if anybody brings present for some friend and he does not accept it, with whom does the present remain? He answered, with him who has brought it. So, dear friend, whatever you have brought for me, I don't accept. That's all. You see, when a wave, a current of water comes, strikes a rock, the wave will go back. If it strikes some sand underneath the rock, it passes through. So, if anybody tells you something and you've got love, regard for him, that will recede and go back to him twice. And if you think something against him, then that thought will remain. That thought will be given a boost within you if somebody calls you names and you return them, then where do they remain? That is not doubled or quadrupled. If you keep quiet and he says once, twice, 100 times, then no reaction. Send loving thoughts. It happens sometimes people go on calling you names without provocation. If you simply give them loving thoughts, they'll keep quiet or sit nearby them but don't hear. That's all. That's the only remedy. My time is up and I will stop here and with Master's grace continue the next time. I started with the question and answer sessions from Light of Kripal. I started with chapter 64, the title, The Houses on Fire, and then moved on to chapter 65, Love and Surrender, One Pointed Attention, and had just started the next chapter titled Criticism. Thank you everybody for listening, and thank you Master for keeping us at your feet.
Thank you, Pradeep, for reading Master's gracious, valuable words. There were 82 participants at today's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Master, for bringing us together to increase our love for you.
Love is true love, which is called charity, which is already ingrained in our soul. If that is directed towards God, that is true love. God is love, our soul is also love personified, and the way back to God is also love.